All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Thursday, September 7th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com or DFSR.com for short. You can, as if you've been listening to the podcast, you know you can still grab a free 3-day trial. Excuse me, 7-day trial. I'm still used to saying 3 days, but we extended it. 7-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. That's going to include NFL. Actually include all of Week 1 for NFL if you sign up right now. MLB as well, covered all under the same subscription package. So /NFL. We'll get you that free 7-day trial, and then just $29.95 a month after that. You're all good to go for your DFS needs. We've got a lot of cool stuff going up there now. We have the Player Lab is up there. Leaderboard stuff is up there for NFL. So really excited with all the dev stuff that's gone up on the site in the last couple days. Go check it out, DFSR.com. All right, buddy. Pretty short little Thursday here of baseball, highlighted by kind of the question of how much you're willing to pay on DraftKings for your starting pitchers. So we have two guys, Kluber and Kershaw, who are going probably two of the top four best pitchers in baseball. If you'd like throw in Sale and Scherzer, I would say like that's probably the top tier. Let's do two things here. One, who do you play on FanDuel between the two of them? I think you only need to choose between the two of them. And then on DraftKings, do we want to get into a situation where we're committing more than half of our salary cap just to two pitchers?
Yeah, I think it's going to ultimately come down to two major factors when you're deciding on FanDuel. The first one, in my mind, is the matchup and their win expectation. And on that level, I think Kershaw edges out Kluber here. You know, the Rockies, well, right now Vegas has the game is a full run less being scored. And part of that's the park and part of that's the matchup and the Rockies' sort of inability to hit left-handed pitching outside of Coors Field. But I think there's more to the story than that, you know. I think that what we're seeing here, and I guess I want your take on this as well, is our system looking at this and kind of just thinking that Kluber is going to go more innings than Kershaw. And I mean, this is like one of those great unknown things. Like we've often talked about in daily fantasy, how projecting opportunity is the most important thing to be able to do. And when it comes to pitchers, innings pitched is the great opportunity question mark. And kind of unlike other sports, you know, pitcher opportunity can really vary from start to start. You know, a guy, even when he's pitching well, can only go five innings if things, you know, people ran long counts or fouled off a bunch of balls or whatever. So right now, yeah, our system is seeing Kluber coming in ahead of Kershaw. What's your take on that? Because, man, Vegas, like if you just look strictly on Vegas, Colorado is projected to score a lot fewer runs here. And then you're just kind of taking Kluber v. Kershaw in like a challenge choice. And it's kind of weird to just take Kluber out of hand there, right?
Yeah, I'm just not sure where to really set Kershaw on his innings expectation. He pitched, last game was his first game back from the DL, and he pitched 70 pitches, right? We've seen the Dodgers to be really cautious with their starting pitchers already this season, so that's already something that they had, that's something they've been doing pretty consistently with just about everyone that they've had this season, is running the pitch counts really low compared to, you know, comparatively to some other pitchers that, you know, throughout the majors, especially like upper level guys. Now Kershaw actually didn't fit that mold before he got hurt. His pitch counts were right around like, you know, 100 to 110 when things were rolling, and then. But the fact that he only threw 70 last game, and it like, if you, I mean, are we projecting a 50% increase game over game in terms of his pitch count? Like that 50% would get him to like a little north of 100 pitches. That seems like a huge bump.
No, I don't think we are. I mean, especially since the Dodgers have been so conservative and they have so little to play for. So I think, you know, I get why Vegas loves the Dodgers here, but I think it's just one of those cases where, and you know, I think there's also worth pointing out that Kluber peripherally the season has been better than Kershaw. I mean, he's striking out more than a batter extra per nine. So it's not like we're taking a talent downgrade to go in Kluber's direction here. Yeah, I think just the innings pitch, I think that extra safety you can get, understanding that Kershaw, he's got a better career, bigger name. I think that extra savings you can get, plus the extra innings, it probably makes it worth it to me.
Yeah, and I think that's where we end up for him on FanDuel. Now, on DraftKings, it, like I said, it becomes a question of, is this the right thing to do to allocate this much salary? If we're at all worried about pitch count, like if we're thinking that Kershaw, now look, last game he threw 70 pitches, he went six innings, allowed one hit and seven runs, or seven Ks, right? He was as good as you could ever could possibly be on 70 pitches. Like, I can't, that had to be like one of the most efficient 70-pitch outings like in baseball history, like short of like, I think James Paxton threw like a, I don't know, complete game last year on like 80 pitches. But like, you just don't see this. You don't see 70 pitches getting you that kind of a performance. I don't think you can pencil that kind of performance in again. And then it becomes a question of, can you pay north of $13,000 for him on DraftKings and allocate $26,000 of your $50,000 cap to these two pitchers. I mean, our system says right now you can. It's closer on Kershaw than it is on Kluber, right? Like, it's saying 100% on Kluber. Kershaw, it's close. Does this seem to be like an overpay, or be one of those situations where, look, these guys are so much better? Even like, you know, an 80% Kershaw, 80% of like normal expectation, 80% of that normal expectation on Kershaw. Is that good enough to just roster them both and just kind of hope you get there on some cheap bats?
Yeah, well, I think it's a combination of two things. The first is, like you mentioned, there's really kind of a lack of mid-tier pitching talent tonight. I mean, there are some options here, but even on DraftKings, they're still quite expensive. Guys like Lester come to mind, and then it's a pretty big drop-off after that. Maybe take Lance Lynn against San Diego at San Diego. But I think bigger here is that there really aren't any great bats to pay up for. Like, one thing we've seen the last few days with really, really high-profile Coors games is that our system would tend to want to get savings, especially in the pitcher two slot, so that you could fit those bats in. But today, like, who's your big payoff? You know, like, if you go off from Kershaw and you go down to John Lester, what have you really gotten for your money? You know, like, allocating that extra $2,900 doesn't really do anything for you other than get you, like, you know, just shuffling some pieces around, shuffling vectors on the Titanic, if you will. And I don't think that makes sense. I mean, if you look at the lines today, there's really only a small handful of teams that are in good spots. And a lot of those teams don't really have the big names that you want to stack anyway or that you need to pay up for. So I think it's a combination of both of those.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You don't need to, like, you know, there's no game in Coors. There's really, well, there's not many games in general. And two of the games are populated by just two complete aces that you're going to not stack against anyway. And like you said, like, you're up against some of these bats, you're up against some of these other kind of above average pitchers. And I don't want to spend 10-4 on a guy like Lester against Pittsburgh, right? He's had some of his issues, and Aaron Nola's been good this year, but he gets a Washington team that you don't really love facing. So I just don't know. Look, there's guys you can talk yourself into paying down for. Like, one guy the system likes is Jameson Taillon. I mean, do you think, like, at 7,100, could you pivot down to Taillon and feel okay about it? He faces the Cubs. He's an underdog here.
Yeah, I mean, so Taillon is an interesting one. I mean, he's got the big time upside, right? Like, he's got the K pedigree. He has done it at times in the past, but this season he's just kind of been regular. You know, like, he's kind of like Michael Wacha type guy. 8.5 Ks per nine, 3.4 walks per nine. Yeah, the xFIP is a little bit better than the ERA, and that's due to some bad BABIP issues. But again, if I'm going to pay all the way down for Taillon and go down to 7,100, I'd really like to know who, like, what I'm getting in exchange for that payoff. And I just think that what you get back isn't good enough. Like, I mean, paying $6,000 less at starting pitcher means that basically you're just hoping to stack some big bats in great situations, and right now you're just not really getting away with anything. So you're giving up an incredible amount of safety to go with a guy who's been super up and down against a super strong offensive team, who's an underdog, you know, who's up against a good pitcher. I just don't see it. I mean, maybe something will come out, you know, if we hear Kershaw is on a 70 pitch count again or something, that could sway me a little bit. I think that he's probably the best of the next options, and certainly a really good big tournament target. Like, there is a scenario, by the way, tonight where Kershaw just goes five innings and gives up three runs, and it's just totally normal. And, like, Taillon is one of the very rare times you can ever say in either of their careers where Taillon has a chance to outscore Kershaw just on a raw points basis. But it just seems like too dramatic a risk for me.
No, I think you're right. And like I said, some of these other guys, I'm just not willing to go there either. Lance Lynn in a good matchup, but he's struggled this season. It might just be kind of coming to an end for a guy like Lynn. He kind of lived in the 8.5K range for most of his career. He's down to 7.5 this year. The walks are up. The xFIP's way up. Like, that, he has an ERA under 3, but an xFIP over 4.5. This is just kind of what happens when you're just get old. He's in his age 30 season, and you can just kind of fall off a cliff when you're a guy like Lynn.
Yeah, he'll have ownership, though. People will go there. I mean, it's a very, like, on paper, it looks like a very attractive matchup, and the price is sort of right for him. And I wouldn't fault anyone if they did run him out there. He's also been relatively good recently. I just think, again, the payoffs is the question I keep going back to, and I don't think that they're there enough for me, or at least our system doesn't see it just yet. But I wouldn't be surprised if he had higher overall ownership than, say, Kershaw on DraftKings.
And like we said on FanDuel, I just don't know why you're pivoting too far, even for tournaments, honestly, why you're pivoting too far off of Kluber, just because he's one of those situations where, yes, he's expensive, but he just represents – these guys just represent such an overwhelming – just such overwhelming upside compared to, like, what you get for savings kind of further down the chain. Kluber's only 11.6. That's kind of a joke of a price for him. It just makes it insanely easy just to play him and just kind of not worry about it. And again, his expectation level is so much higher than everybody else's. I mean, aside from Kershaw, we have him for 50 points of FanDuel expectation, projected points right now. Kershaw at 46. The next closest guy is 17 points below him. And I'm not sure I've seen a bigger spread from two pitchers down to the next guy, but specifically, if you're worried about Kershaw's pitch count, then like you just go Kluber, just the pitcher, the second guy basically after him. And that's Tanner Rourke against Philly, who is in a pretty good matchup. He's another guy that doesn't really strike out a ton of guys. But you're just like, are you just getting that much more? Like, it's like 24% downgrade on expectation, and you don't really need to save on the bats really, because some of these guys are coming pretty cheap. So all this being said, I think that when it comes down to it, you see us play Kluber on FanDuel. I think you see him as being kind of the chalk pitcher there. He's going to be a chalk pitcher on DraftKings as well. And then people are just going to be deciding where you kind of go for starting pitcher two. And that one I do think is a real decision that we'll kind of make, and we'll see if we get any news on Kershaw's pitch counts as the day goes on. Any other pitchers I missed here? I guess I mentioned Rourke. I mean, anyone else that kind of jumps out to you here? Some of these other pitchers are kind of bad. The ones that we just kind of glossed, the ones we ignored at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a no man's land. It's like a middle ground where it's not really guys you want to stack against necessarily, but not really players you want to play. Like, you're never going to play John Gray against the Dodgers. You're never going to play even like Dan Straley against the Braves. You know, it's just kind of guys who are regular. You know, their prices are too high for what they provide on DraftKings. You wouldn't consider them in the remotest of circumstances on FanDuel. There's not really much K upside to be had throughout these guys. They're all just kind of dudes. And that makes it's a short slate, so this is going to happen, but it makes it a lot less intriguing. Like, I think a lot more separation is going to be had in bats tonight, which obviously increases your volatility some.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those bats and where we can go for stacks. You're going to need to save here if you roster these guys, right? And I think that's fine. I think we have opportunities to do that. Is there a team or two that stands out to you that we could get in on the cheap? Any of these teams stand out that we need to kind of just, we are going to need to pay down a little bit?
Yeah, I think you're going to be mixing and matching as much as you're going to be stacking tonight. But one team that's coming up a lot in our system right now is Miami, and they're coming up against Sean Newcomb. Newcomb this season, I think primarily what the system is seeing here is the strong right-handed bats against Newcomb. So, you know, you can get guys like Giancarlo Stanton. You can get kind of cheaper guys up the middle like Marcelo Zuna or Rojas or Realmuto, you know, who's been batting fifth out of the catcher slot. I think he's in a really, really good spot here tonight. And on a slate that doesn't feature much terrible pitching, Newcomb kind of passes, you know. So I think that's kind of where the system is trending right now. Miami, at this point, is the most stacked team in our FanDuel lineup.
Yeah, no, Newcomb, he's got some K stuff. Like, he's striking out more than a batter an inning so far in 15 starts. So he's got a decent track record of the Ks, but he walks everybody, though. Five walks per nine, 4.7 xFIP on the season. So has the K stuff. He's just very, very wild, too. I always get a little worried about pitchers with that kind of profile because they can just turn the Ks on for a game if you have it just in your makeup. That being said, the run lines just in general are trending low across the board. Yeah. I don't think I see in our system a team with more than five implied runs on the whole slate. That never happens. You almost always get a team somewhere out there between the ballpark or a matchup or both, or just like kind of how good your team is.
Well, we just don't have a lot of the good parks or the good teams today, and not a lot of terrible pitchers. So when you take all those things combined, it kind of is the perfect storm for paying up at pitching as well.
You do. And the Marlins do rate out as the highest implied run line. They're like, we have them almost pushing up against five, right around 4.9 runs right now. So they do represent the highest team, but they're, again, it's not like they're not overwhelmingly, it's not like a game in course we have a six run line, or you have like, you know, a Cleveland team facing a really bad pitcher or something like that, where you get these run lines up close to six. We're just really not seeing that. After the Marlins, any other teams kind of jumping out to you here?
Yeah, I kind of like both sides of the KC-Minnesota game. It's not like a classic stack in that it's kind of a pick'em. The total for the game is around 9.5. Neither Gabiglio or Gibson are terrible per se, but neither of them is very good either. Gibson's kind of like an overhyped prospect at this point. Hasn't really done anything in the majors. Got that Devils ERA, or Devils K per nine, darn it. 6.66 Ks per nine. Nothing to write home about. 3.65 walks per nine. That number is climbing as he attempts to make up for his lack of stuff. You know, because when he first came up, he was striking out like five guys per nine. It's not really having much payoff for him, though. The 4.44 xFIP is below league average, and the 5.3 ERA is even worse than that. And on the other side, Gabiglio is basically like a poor man's Kyle Gibson. 5.7 Ks per nine and 3 walks per nine. And with Gaviglio, I guess I do like the twin side of this a little bit better, just because Gaviglio is giving up to 2.1 home runs per nine this season. 22% home run to fly ball rate says that might be some degree of luck, but the guy also just gives up a ton of hard contact. And I think if you're stacking for big tournaments, I think the Twins look like a really attractive play here.
Yeah, they're just, the only problem with them is they're just a little expensive. They've been pretty, you know, they've trotted out basically the same lineup for the better part of the second half of this season. And when that happens and you have, you know, relative consistency in your offense, you see prices on them trend toward the higher side. So like you are paying a lot, you are paying kind of a lot relative to overall performance in guys like Maurer and Polanco, and Dozier's really expensive. So that's the only issue with those guys there. I do think they're in a, I totally agree with you that they're in a great spot. Again, I agree with you on both sides of this game. It's just, I'm a little concerned that you're overpaying. I don't mind the St. Louis side of their lineup. They're coming, some of these guys, if they trot out what I see as a projected lineup for them, they have some cheap righty bats kind of hitting near the top. And Grichik, he looks like he might hit second. Jose Martinez might hit fourth. Guys like that are coming under 3,000 on FanDuel. It's not the best park in the world, obviously. It's actually really one of the worst parks in the world in Petco. But if you can get these guys against Clayton Richard, I don't mind them, mostly because of the price. Even Piscotty, he's only 2,300. They've been hitting him a little bit lower in the lineup, though. Again, I suppose against the lefty, you could see him move up. So they have some interesting righty bats, and it's mostly the fact that they're just coming cheap against a guy like Richard, who is not the worst pitcher in the world, but I think if we can get him on, if we can get these guys cheap, then I don't mind stacking some of them, just because, again, our goal today is to find as much savings as possible, and I think that's just going to be what most of the industry is kind of looking to try to do.
Yeah, I just think that you're not, like you mentioned, they're not the greatest team in the world. Just again, a lot of the greatest teams in the world aren't hitting tonight, so I don't know what anyone wants to do. One last game I'll highlight real quick is the Reds Mets game. Matt Harvey is a name people will recognize as a guy who used to be good, but he hasn't been good this season at all. 7 Ks per nine, 4.4 walks per nine. Like, he's just a shell of the guy who was looking like an ace of the future in 2013 and even 2015 when he came back. The injury problems seem to have unfortunately derailed his career here, and he's just a bad pitcher at this point, as painful as it is to say. As a big-time Mets fan, Doug, you know me.
Oh, yeah.
I bleed the blue-orange. But yeah, Matt Harvey is a totally worthwhile guy to stack against. The Reds don't really have a lot of the big-name flash outside of Otto and Duvall, but you can get some extra value there with, like, Jeanette batting fifth. Maybe they go Philip Irvin cheap in the number one hole. Like, I could see him being a really nice, just kind of cheap guy to plug in if you want to play Kershaw and Kluber, for instance, or if you just want to spend up elsewhere on FanDuel. So both sides of that seem decent. Tyler Mahle, I don't honestly, frankly, know too much about him. He's only got 11 innings in the majors. He was kind of a non-prospect. He was good in the minors, but nothing super special. So I don't know. I'm sure the Mets are a bit terrible, so I don't really know which Mets you want to play, but with those young guys who don't have much of a major league track record, they're always a threat to blow up. So just another team to keep an eye on there.
100%. This is a quick one today with the short slate on Thursday, so we're going to get out of here. Like we said, Kluber, Kershaw, that's pretty much the way we're going to go with pitching. Try to find some of those stacks against some of the bad pitchers. And again, you can check out our projections that are going to help you throw together lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings by going to dfsr.com/NFL. Also, go check out our NFL podcast on the same name, DFSR NFL podcast. You can find that on iTunes. Go check that out. We'll be posting today of game one, or week one, game by game breakdown, where we kind of look at every game and try to figure out the DFS implications of those matchups. So dfsr.com/NFL, free 7-day trial gets you going, buddy. We'll be back again talking a full Friday in baseball. See you later,
buddy.